It's a joy again to be able to welcome to our pulpit Dr. William McCrae, and we've enjoyed, even though it's been a brief time for me, the fellowship we have had more recently, as I was not able to be here last week to enjoy the ministry of the meetings that were going on in Port Hope. If you miss those, I encourage you to be sure to download those messages from the internet, and I know that the Lord would bless them again to your heart. And we've had good fellowship also with his dear wife. We're thankful that she was able to come this time with him on his journey. And our brother, as you have heard already, has just concluded 50 years of ministry in Mockrafelt Free Presbyterian Church. And the Lord has greatly used him in that area of service, both in the church itself and in the many gospel campaigns that he has had held over the years. The Lord has been pleased to lead many souls to Christ through the ministry of his servant. And we are thankful for that. And I was very happy that Dr. McClellan this morning was able to fill in a lot of the details that I may not have been just so familiar with about the ministry and the life of service that our brother has had. And we certainly appreciate him and respect him in the gospel and thank God for the ministry that he has enabled him to do. So he's going to come and sing for us again tonight, first of all on the accordion and then later on the piano, and then bring the word of God to you. So, brother, thank you again, and come along.
That God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, Lord, how great thou art. Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and he'll take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, Lord, how great thou I want us to turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans. Familiar passage of God's Word, that's Romans chapter number 10. 10th chapter of the book of Romans. I'd like you to follow the reading of God's precious Word tonight, Romans chapter 10. We're going to commence our reading there at verse number 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Keep our Bibles open. And then we'll come to seek God's face in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege tonight of gathering in this congregation in Toronto to gather around Thy precious Word and hear Thee speak to our hearts afresh. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will take of Thy Word, that Thou will write Thy Word upon each and every one of our hearts, and Lord, ere we leave this place, grant that each and every one of us will know that reality of our sins forgiven, cleansed in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for those that can sing tonight. I have no other argument and I want no other plea. For it is enough that Jesus died and that Jesus died for me. So, Lord, to this end, I ask of Thee that Thou will fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and help me, our God, to preach Christ in all His beauty and all His glory. For we thank Thee that Christ is still the answer to the every need of our hearts. Cover us in the precious blood. Lord, defeat every plan and plot of hell that would oppose the preaching of Thy Word. And we pray that Thou will guard Thy Word and write it upon our hearts in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to look at a familiar verse with me tonight. It's the verse number 13 of this 10th chapter of the book of Romans. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want us to look at this verse tonight as God gives us help. I want to rightly divide the word of truth. And there is much here in this verse that I believe it needs to be brought to our hearts. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to notice first of all the substance of the text. It shall be saved. You see, friends, salvation is the most important thing for anyone to know and experience God's salvation. For without God's salvation, sinners are lost. Lost not only in time, but lost for all eternity. Without God's so wonderful and free salvation. And you and I are travelers to eternity. You and I stepped onto the stage of time, and some of these days, perhaps even hours, we do not know, will be taken from the scene of time out into God's eternity.
And the Word of God is very clear that we'll either go to heaven to be with Christ or we'll go to hell without Him. And it's one or the other. And men and women need to be prepared to meet God, for the prophet Amos cried out, prepare to meet thy God. Salvation is the very substance and very subject of this book. I never understand why preachers stand in the pulpit and claim to be preachers and do not preach about God's salvation. Because this book is all about God's salvation. Paul cried out, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 45 and verse 22 said, or the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He talks about being saved. Do you remember the Philippian jailer, whenever he was shaken to his very core and to his heart? He came trembling in to Paul and Silas, and what was the question he asked? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. In other words, if they believe, they will be saved as well. Lord Jesus Christ, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, He said this, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 3:16, we know that, but in verse 17 it says this, for God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that all the world through Him might be saved. There's that word again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, according to His mercy, He saved us. They asked the Lord Jesus Christ the question, who then can be saved? Acts chapter 14 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Then when all of those verses are given in God's Word and many more, why is it the preacher stand in the pulpit and never mention about being saved? Never tell their congregation that they need to be saved or they must be saved. And yet the very substance of this book and the very message of this book is a message of God's salvation for sinners. It's good news. The gospel means good news. We live in a world of so much bad news. We listen to the radio and, my friend, it's always something, some tragedy somewhere happening. We heard about it in Pittsburgh even yesterday. Whenever we think of these things, it seems to be that the world is filled with so much bad news. And yet, the gospel preacher has good news. Good news for sinners to tell them there is a Savior. There's an answer for their sin. Thank God there's power to take away their sin. Yes, salvation is the very subject of this book. When we come to that subject, we find in God's Word that men and women must be saved. I quoted that verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. It's not we might be saved. It says we must be saved. And it's a must which God has given in His precious Word, friend. It's a divine necessity. It tells us, God tells us, that we need to be saved. You say, well, saved what from? I remember the night my brother came home, the first one of our family, and told my mom these words, Mama, I got saved tonight. I remember the night on the 4th of June, 1957, in a little gospel meeting that I heard the claims of the gospel. And that night, the Lord gloriously and wonderfully saved me. I went to school the next morning. I was sitting beside a young lad in school at the desk, and I said, "Joe, I could see it last night." He says, "Why were you drowning?" He hadn't a clue. My friend, let me tell you this. Men and women are traveling to eternity, and there are multitudes in Toronto, and they don't know they must be saved. But you say, well, must be saved from what? Must be saved from what? What's the problem? It wasn't drowning, as Joe asked me. It was something even worse, friend. The Word of God said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." That's what you need saved from. We need to be saved from sin. The Word of God says there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you are tonight. As far as society is concerned, you can be up and out, you can be down and out, but let me tell you, as far as God is concerned, without Jesus, you're outside of Christ. What an awful tragedy. To live and to die and then go out into God's eternity, friend, and find out on whenever you reach eternity that you needed to be saved, but nobody told you. You need to be saved from sin's power. We're bound and we're fettered by sin. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Maybe you say to me tonight, "I'm my own person. I believe I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do. That's the spirit of the age." I want to tell you, you're not your own person. Dear sinner, you're controlled by a power. It's a power to sin. I didn't have to teach one of my children to tell a lie. I didn't have to teach them to tell them to take something that didn't belong to them. I had to teach them ABC. I had to teach them to count. I had to teach them to spell, but I never had to teach them to tell me a lie. Why? Because that was their nature. They had a sinful nature, and because of that, and so had I. And because of that, the Word of God says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And maybe you're here tonight, and you say to me, "Preacher, but I'm good enough." You tell that to the down and out in the street of Toronto. You tell that to the person that's living in the depths of sin. "But I'm a good church-going person, and I live a good, clean life." God says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if you do not realize that you're a sinner, friend, I'll tell you this. You're on your way to hell without Christ. Because before you come to Jesus Christ, you must know that you're a sinner. You never realize you need the Savior until you realize that you're a sinner. And lost and undone and bound by your sin, you need to be saved from the power of your sin. You say, "I'm a free man." No, you're not. You're in bondage. You're in bondage to your sin. You read the 8th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ looked into the eyes of the Pharisees. He said this. He says, "Ye are of your father the devil. The devil's a liar, the father of lies." My friend, let me tell you, either you're tonight in Christ or you're in your sin. Have you ever faced up to that reality? I tell you, in God's name, I beg you tonight. Don't fool yourself. The Word of God says, if we say that we have no sin, listen to this, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We're lying to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. It's not that you're deceiving somebody else, friend. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving your own precious soul. You're telling yourself, "I'm all right. I don't need God's salvation. I don't need God's pardon for my sin." God says you do. You must be saved. From sin's power, from sin's pollution. You know, the Bible, what the Bible says about our hearts is not a pretty picture. It says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Not a pretty picture. All our righteousness is the best, in other words, that we can do. And yet, whenever Paul was writing to the church at Rome in the 10th chapter, he was talking to a people who were going about to establish their own righteousness. Multitudes of people like that in Toronto today. And they're traveling to God's eternity, but they think they're good enough. I don't need God's salvation. I don't need God's pardon. I don't need God's saving grace. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And every last one of us in this meeting tonight, that's exactly where we started, friend. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, He drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. And that's where God found us. And that's where God got us, in the miry clay of our sin. But thank God in grace, He stooped down and reached down. And thank God, there are those tonight in this meeting say, yes, like the psalmist, He drew me from that fearful pit and from that miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and that rock was Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You need to be saved from sin's power. You need to be saved from sin's pollution. You need to be saved from sin's penalty. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the wages of sin, payday someday. And I tell you, there comes a day when man will receive the wages for his sin. If he lives a life of sin, yes, there comes a day when he'll receive the wages of his sin. And the Bible says that's eternal separation from God, eternal death, and a Christless hell forever. You say to me tonight, preacher, how can you tell me that? Why would you tell me such a thing that I would be going to hell? Let me ask you this, friend. Do you think the preacher should stand up in this pulpit and let you go to hell? And just let you go on there? Encourage you on your way to a Christless eternity? No, God sent me to preach. He says, Son of man, warn them from me. I haven't come here with a message from McRae. I've come with a message from God tonight. And God says, warn them from me. God says, if you fail to warn them from me, God says, I'll require their blood at your hands. And I say this solemnly tonight, Toronto's filled with churches with preachers with bloody hands of the souls of their congregation because they've never once told them they need to be saved. I've told them they're good enough. Do the best you can. Live as clean a life as you possibly can. How can you live a clean life out of a heart that's rotten? That is desperately wicked. My friend, the only way is to come to Jesus Christ and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Righteousness not your own, but the righteousness of Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. You must be saved. But I want you to think tonight not only about the must be saved, the mercy of salvation. Turn for a moment in the book of Titus chapter 3. And in Titus chapter 3, we read there just a little verse in verse number 5, these words. Titus chapter 3. And verse number 5. And it says this. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And I'll tell you why it's not by works of righteousness that we have done. Because we have no works of righteousness. All our righteousness, as the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And God say, some years ago I went to Brazil. Dr. Bill Woods was out there. He was working there in the leper colonies. I went to one place outside the city of Manaus. There were 7,000 leper families. I went into that place and he brought me to the hospital. He brought me to the hospital where he was treating some of the leper patients. I remember this lady coming in. She had leprosy and she came in and she had her hands bandaged and her legs were bandaged. Her feet were. And friend, they were all dirty. The bandages were dirty. But there's something else. There's a stench of those bandages. It was awful. And he took those bandages and he wound the bandages and gave her fresh, clean bandages and he cast the old ones away. And yet God says that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In God's sight. And there are men and women tonight, and that's what they're offering to God. And they say, God, let me into heaven. And what they're offering is the rotten rags of their unrighteousness that they think's righteous. You see, the Word of God says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. You see, salvation is of God. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but He saved us. In the mercy of God, it's a wonderful thing. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, 22 said, it is of the Lord's mercy, the Lord's mercies, that we are not consumed. I thank God when I was in my sin, God didn't cut me off and let me go to hell. God was merciful to me. He didn't give me what I deserved. I deserved hell because of my sin, but He didn't. He didn't cut me off. But in His mercy, He saved me. Do you remember the Pharisee cried, or the old publican cried in the presence of the Pharisee? He cried this. He looked up to heaven. The Pharisee looked up to heaven and he was saying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like other men are. I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do the other thing. What a fool he was, friend. He was just as other men are. He was a sinner. The old publican, he bowed his head in the presence of God Almighty and he cried these words. He says, God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible tells us, this is the Lord Jesus speaking now, remember, because He told us the story. He said, that old publican, he went down to his house justified. Rather than the Pharisee. And friend, tonight you can hold on to the rags of your unrighteousness and die in your sin and be lost for all eternity, or you can turn by faith to Jesus Christ, throw yourself upon the mercy of God. That's what the old publican did. He said, God, be merciful to me. The mercy of God, He doesn't give us what we do deserve. The grace of God is He gives us what we don't deserve. For by grace are you saved. You see, friend, there's a must of salvation. You must be saved. There's the mercy of salvation. Thank God. You and I, though we're in danger of judgment and danger of hell and the wages of our sin is death. But thank God, God has been merciful. The The Bible says that the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And that brings me to the third thought, the man of salvation. You say to me, preacher, tonight, well, where is salvation found? The answer is in Christ. In Christ alone. The Word of God tells us, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you remember Adam when he sinned in the garden? Whenever Adam sinned against God and God said, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And man defied the command of God and he did his own thing and he rebelled against the God of heaven. It wasn't that he didn't know. It wasn't that God didn't warn him. It wasn't that God didn't tell him. God says, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The devil told Eve, thou shalt not surely die. But then the devil, Jesus, is the liar. And you can either listen to God, friend, or you can listen to the devil, one or the other. And God said to Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil says, no, you'll not. Take it. It'll make you wise. You'll become as God. God is holding out on you. He knows that you'll become as your own God. You'll be master of your own life. You'll be in control of your whole life. He said, you know, come, and it will elevate you to become as God. And when you read the Word of God, friend, it wasn't elevation. It was damnation. Because that was the fall of man, not the elevation of man. And Adam all die. Thank God in Christ shall all be made alive. When God warned Adam for that, and God said, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And God said, Adam, where art thou? You notice Adam didn't run after God, friend. As God came after Adam. And the voice of the Lord God came walking the garden the cool of the day, and Adam tried to hide himself. He thought he could hide himself from God because he knew that he had sinned against the holy God of heaven. He had rebelled against the command of God. And God says, be sure your sin will find you out. And that's exactly what happened in the garden. Adam's sin found him out. And Adam tried to hide himself, and Eve, she sewed together the fig leaves to hide their nakedness. And he said, I was ashamed. Because that's what sin will bring you. Bring you to shame. I sing a wee hymn. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. No, Adam didn't come running after God. He didn't cry out, oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, forgive me my sin. But the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And God says, Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. God knew what Adam had done, friend. But God was bringing Adam to the place where he would confess where he was. Do you know what he said? He said, God, the woman, she gave me. And I did eat. What a card to hide behind Eve.
Her fault! Don't blame me, God. It was her, the woman. She gave me and I did eat.
You know what else he said? He says, God, the woman that you gave me, she gave me an oddity. He not only blamed the woman, he blamed God for his sin. But then it doesn't wear, you know. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But salvation, thank God, is in Christ. And in Christ alone. It's not the Lord plus the church. It's not the Lord Jesus plus baptism. Salvation is not in the Lord Jesus plus confirmation or any other ritual of the church. Salvation is not in the preacher. Salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you remember Peter? Peter stepped out in that boat to walk to the Lord Jesus. Other disciples were in the boat. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee in the water. And Jesus says, Peter, come. That was his enablement. It was a command. It was a call of Christ. And Peter got out of that boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And he actually did. And then he got his eyes of the Lord, friend. And he took his eyes of the Lord and he got caught up with the waves and he got caught up with the wind. And he took his eyes of the Lord and he began to sink. And as he was going down into that watery grave, I want you to notice this. He didn't cry back to the men in the boat, come quickly and pull me out of the water. He cried, Lord, save me. And thank God he did. He did. He cried, Lord! Lord, save me! I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to look to the Lord tonight? Are you willing to call upon the name of the Lord? For the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. You can call on the church. And you can call on the preacher. And you can call on anyone else, friend. And there's not one of them can save you. But thank God if you call on the name of the Lord. Jesus saves. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And tonight, as we come to the concluding part of this meeting tonight, I'm glad I'm able to say this with the authority of God Himself, that God has provided an eternal salvation in His Son and through His Son. And through the sacrifice of His cross, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And thank God He was buried and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. That was the gospel that Paul preached. Christ died for our sins. He's the Savior. But there's a miracle of salvation. See, it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That old Philippian jailer, you know, as he was shaken to the very core, and he came into that prison, and he was about to kill himself, because the old devil, you know, he'd rather that the Philippian jailer had killed himself and committed suicide rather than getting to Christ, getting saved. Well, the devil doesn't want you to be saved. He wants to tell you there's no salvation for you. You couldn't be saved. Well, I want to say God says different. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, and not maybe, but shall be. That's why the hymn writer is able to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And the Philippian jailer cried out. And I tell you, those tears were real. And that heart was truly broken. And he said, sirs, tell me, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You read that 16th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles, friend. Thank God he did. He got saved that night. And his life was never the same again. He was changed. Thank God he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And here was a man that took Paul and Silas and threw them into the inner prison and now put their feet in the stocks and walked out and sneered at them and laughed at them. And now, as the Bible says, he washes their stripes. He brings them into his house. And he feeds them. Tell me, who made the change in his heart? The Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't know many of you people here, and I don't know what your problem is, and I don't know what sin binds your heart, but I can tell you what the Word of God says. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's power in the blood. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives, thank God, you can know God's forgiveness. You can know God's pardon. You can know God's peace within your heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my question is this. Are you saved? God says you must be. And if you're not, then friend, you're lost. You're hopeless. You'll never be able to save yourself. You'll never be able to work your way to heaven. You'll never go through the pearly gates without the Lord Jesus. For Jesus says, I am the way. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the only way to heaven is through Christ. And through Christ alone. You're not saved tonight. If your sins have not been blotted out, the precious blood. If you have not come as a sinner, lost, helpless, hopeless, unclean, unrighteous, and taken your place as that sinner, and realized that Christ is the only Savior. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
I know I don't deserve it tonight. But thank God I'm saved. And there's not a demon in hell will be able to keep me out of heaven. Because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, bless Thy Word tonight. Thou knowest the standing and the state of every heart in this meeting tonight. Thou knowest those that truly are Thine, washed in the precious blood, robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit. Thou knowest, our God, those that are ready for heaven and home. And one day with the psalmist, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But, O God, if there be one tonight that's not saved, please, Lord, don't let them go away without You. Thy Word says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'll save precious souls tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen.